6 p.m. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Rockland City Council, Rockland Public Financing Authority, and successor agency, April 11th, 2017. And if we could, I'd like to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Barbara, can we have roll call, please?
Councilmember Janda.
Present.
Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Vice Mayor Broadway.
Here.
Mayor Yule.
Here.
Councilmember Gayaldo is excused.
All right. Thank you. Council, any verbal reports from boards, committees, or commissions? Greg?
Yes, I had one thing to report. The flood board did meet, and I just wanted to bring an item to the council's awareness. We talked about the Antelope Creek flood control project relative to the upper weir. It was a tremendous amount of damage that has occurred due to the amount of rainfall we've had, the high waters, and part of that project, it went out to bid. It came in significantly higher than expected, and so with that increase, it was about $1.3 million higher than expected. The approach that's being taken with that is a fair share formula, and so that'll be coming back to us, but I wanted the council to be aware. It was initially projected to be approximately $182,000. It's looking now for the Rockland portion of that may be in the area of $265,000. There's going to be additional discussions about how the funding will be brought forward, how they'll arrive at that, but it is something I want you to be aware of. I know that Rick is also aware of that, and so again, there will be additional discussions on the amount. We had already been made aware of the $182,000, so we knew that, but because of the higher bid, and there are certain things that drive that, including mitigation that's required for special species and different things, and unfortunately, one of those actually increased the cost by over $160,000, so it'll give you an idea of some of the things we have to plan for. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. And that is all I have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, can I follow up with a question? Is the 182, is that also due from damage, or is that an assessment that we were paying for the project prior to the damage?
The 182 was actually the original portion of our fair share that we were going to contribute for that. Then it increased from that to approximately $265,000, so an $83,000 increase. And again, that was because the actual bid came in approximately $400,000 more than we had expected that bid to arrive at.
What was the staff looking into any type of federal funding to help with that due to flood damage?
Yeah, there are actually several grants that are available to help pay for that. Those are included because it is a $3.3 million expense total. And that is one thing that all of the agencies need to consider is if we chose not to fund that because of that increase in cost, those grants go away at the end of the year, which would then eliminate a large portion of that in the $1 million range that would no longer be available to cover the expenses that are going to be incurred.
Great. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Any other reports? All right. Next item is agenda review. Any desire to modify the agenda in any way, Council? All right. And anyone from the public? All right. Next item is the consent calendar. And is everyone satisfied with the items as presented? Anyone from the public wish to pull anything? Okay. All right. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, move to approve the consent calendar as noted on the agenda.
All second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries unanimously. All right. Now we're going to move into the special presentations, item 14. And tonight we'll have a presentation on the Coalition for Placer Youth. And, oh, there you are. I didn't see you in the back there. Hi, Christina. Take your time if you got to get something.
Hello, Mayor.
City Council members. I recognize a few of you, but I haven't met the city attorney or Ms. Sarkovich and Joe Patterson either. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And just want to say that as the director for Coalition for Placer Youth, I am also a Rockland resident. I have a daughter here and two grandchildren here in Rockland, and I love Rockland. I actually live a couple blocks down the street and just really love being a part of this community and appreciate all the work that you do. just really briefly, I'd like to just talk about who we are as an overview for people in the audience that might not know and some of the new members of the council here. And want to say that we are actually the Coalition for Placer Youth is a drug-free communities coalition, federally funded. And we are, our first 5 years, we were a federal funded grant for the county, Placer County. And then we scaled down to serving Rockland specific. So we're in our third year of serving Rockland. We're in our eighth year now. And Placer County is our fiscal agent. Our budget's $125,000 a year. And then we also get our community in kind. So we have about a little over two years left of funding here. And then we have some contractors, too. But we're not just by ourselves. We don't just have a meeting every month and a few people show up. We're actually a whole community that works together. We are required to include the 12 community sectors. And so you see here from the list, we have many people in the community from all different organizations that work with us directly ongoing, including one of our longest, our founding board members, which is now our chair, Joanna Julian, who is from now from her business Core Connectivity, which is another extension of what we do at the coalition. So our vision and our mission are pretty linked to the community. We really want to have a healthy community, so I think we're all on the same page with that. And but from our grant, we're actually required to be accountable and to be able to provide outcomes on the work that we do. So these are the four outcomes that we look at and we measure through the school surveys every 2 years and through the community survey every 2 years. So some of you may have had students that had the survey in the schools. This fall we'll be doing another survey for the community and for the students. So one of the things that we're working on is we have goals. So we have three goals, main goals, and number one is to increase community collaboration and capacity, which means the community actually starts owning the commitment to wellness, which I think we're getting close to doing that. And then also to reduce youth substance use in both alcohol use and marijuana. And so this might just seem like three small goals, but as you know, this is a pretty big challenge to tackle, and it involves a lot of different strategies. So we actually apply a lot of different strategies along the continuum in the community to be able to make sure that we're reaching and covering all the bases. And some people might be aware of it. We have a website. We have a regular newsletter. We have quarterly forums that our parents come to and educators that we help provide support and training for parents to talk more confidently with their students about and their children about drugs and alcohol and also build their communication skills. And then we also work on policy changes. So we put out a paper to the county to focus on our position on marijuana to help them decide on how they were going to legislate in the future. So there's a lot of different things that the coalition does, and we're just, you know, we're continually assessing, making sure we're doing a good job. And then we look at our outcomes. So our outcomes, the top two charts on 9th and 11th grade are the 30-day use rates. And so the blue is 2011, and then we have 13 and 15 going down. So you see the use rates are going down, and we really are happy about this. And then the perception of harm should be going up with that. And we do see that going up, not as high as we'd like, not as more as significant as we'd like, but with Prop 64, we really have a lot of work ahead. And so we know that we need to engage everybody. And we have a lot of different partners that we work with. So these are just some of the partners that we work with on a regular basis. And these are some highlights of the things that we've done this year. We also are the primary coordinator for the drug takebacks that go on in the county every 2 times a year for prescription drugs. So hopefully if anybody has done that or participated, that you'll understand that our coalition was the one that started that, and we are still the primary coordinator for the whole county, and we are continually engaging partners. We brought some youth to Washington, D.C. this year, and they really represented Placer well, I have to say. If you could have seen them stood up there and do their presentation about what they have learned from their community about the social host ordinance in Rockland and what has been done, and the positive responses and the impacts of that in the community, and just to see them be able to articulate themselves at the national level and then to come home and to be able to actually reflect on how valuable that was to them was really amazing. We also brought a bunch of teens mainly from Rockland down to Anaheim earlier this summer too, and they were able to learn and be inspired, and they actually came back. They were mainly from the Placer County Youth Commission and Rockland Schools. And they developed a new program that was just piloted in Roseville schools called, it's an awareness gallery on reducing mental health, mental illness stigma. And they were inspired by that training to do this from something they saw. So all of these things that we do to increase the capacity of our youth are really important. Events that we do are social media postings, and this is, obviously, you're not going to read that right now, but this is a reflection of one of our youth. When we came back from Anaheim, when all the kids, there was 9 of them, they got in the car with their parents. I timed it very correctly. And 3 minutes after they got in the car with their parents, I asked them all to text me back their 3 favorite words that describe their experience that weekend. And that was the word cloud that came out of that experience. And they were very motivated and have been doing different things from what they learned since. So obviously this is a very quick overview, and you guys are, I'm limited with my time. Did I get stopped already? But we have future programs we're looking at, and we want to bring more to the community so that when the grant funding ends, we still move forward and we're still involved, and we are actually increasing the wellness in the community, because we do have issues to work on with our students. Mental health and wellness is really important for our students, especially at the high school level, so we're really looking at that. And we actually have our annual meeting every year this Wednesday, or May 25th. We're going to have our next annual meeting where we'll do more reporting on what we've learned from our students and our work in the community, and tell some stories and dive a little bit deeper for everybody. So in your packets, you have an invitation. I will be sending a follow-up email to everybody tomorrow so you can have an invitation to that meeting. And if you need to get a hold of me, feel free to follow us on Twitter and so you can keep updated on what we're doing. And that's it for now.
Okay. Thank you, Christina. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to answer any questions if
sure.
you have any questions, Council? Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Is the funding after year 10, are there opportunities for federal funding after that, or is
there
it
are
just...
not? Yeah, the funding ends, and part of the plan we're in now is we're working towards more sustainability, and this, that program right there, Athlete Committed, is a school-based program that is actually changes school culture. And it's been very successful, and other cities that have adopted other school districts. We are seriously working on getting the support pieces in place for that, and we're hoping to partner with Rockland Unify. We're still working out a lot of the little finer details of that. We need a lot of pieces in place in order to make sure that goes smoothly. And that's something that will help our work move forward. We already do have a lot of partners that are willing to take on little pieces, so we're planning ahead. But it's going to take a little bit of navigating to make sure that we have the work continuing without burdening the community. And social media is a really great, wonderful way that we are working on making sure that coalition work continues even after funding might end. And in your packets, you have some of the things. You have the data, you have the take back, and this is something we developed also with the youth and a student from Sierra College. It's a door hanger that our law enforcement uses now. They posted it on student housing. One of the things that we found out this year from our data is there's a, even though our drinking levels have been going down in our high school students, when they get to the junior college level, we're seeing a spike in alcohol use and binge drinking specifically. So we know that when we're not tied into the federal funding that's focused on the high school level, it's going to be a great opportunity for us to move more and partner more with the junior colleges and also with William Jessup to do more work so we have that continuum of support along in the community. There's also some marijuana information in the back with research from the state level, so you guys have all sorts of great reading material for your free time.
So I didn't have a question. Christina, I just wanted to say thank you for all you do and for helping our students as well and our youth in the community find a way to create positive change. So appreciate all
thank
that you.
You
do.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And I'd add to that, too, and having had a chance to visit with you a couple of times, I'm astounded at the number of things that you're doing, trying to do anyway, with a pretty small budget. And I don't know how you're stringing that all together. So those partnerships, sounds like those partnerships are really key.
Absolutely.
So certainly keep us apprised if there's any way we can help.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any comment from the public regarding the presentation? Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Next, we'll open up a public hearing. Item 16, the Community Facilities District Number 1, 52nd Annexation. Pardon me? Oh, I did. Well, I'm not trying to exclude the public in any way. Pardon me. I jumped ahead a bit. Next item. Citizens addressing the city council. This is an opportunity to address the council on any items that's not on the agenda. And if you have anything to say or provide, come to the podium. Thank you. Just you could state your name, and you don't have to give us an address, maybe a city where you live.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor, city council members, and other city officials. I'm Jetta Delensic. Alongside me is Carol Peterson, and we're both longtime residents of Rockland. And we're also members of the Rockland Friends of the Library. We are here tonight as Placer County Library Advocates. Before I go any further, I would like to thank the Rockland City Council for your continued support of the Rockland Library. Our purpose tonight is to bring awareness to the Rockland City Council and the Rockland community on how the Placer County Library System has been underfunded for several years. Every year, it is an ongoing struggle to make our libraries the best. In 2016-2017, the Loomis and Meadow Vista libraries were closed, and hours and services to the other county branches were cut. With the closure of those libraries, a few hours have been restored, but not much. Presently, the library system has a budget of $7 million, with an ongoing deficit of $500,000. The library administration is asking for a $1.3 million increase in the budget for 2017 and 2018, which would eliminate the deficit, preserve all the libraries at present, and provide all libraries in the system with top-notch collections, facilities, convenient hours, excellent staff ratio, and many enrichment programs. If the budget stays the same as in 2016-17, two more libraries will be closed, Penrhyn and Applegate, and hours and programs will be reduced in all the branches. As we all know, libraries are a vital part of the fabric of their community. The reason we brought this to you, the City Council, is because it will affect the families in Rockland if this budget increase amount is not approved. All the services at the library are free to all of the community. We even have internet access. I urge you and the community members here present to call or write a letter of support increasing the library budget for the additional $1.3 million for 2017-18 budget to the Board of Supervisors. This is of utmost urgency as the Board of Supervisors will be meeting on April 24th in regards to this issue. Do you have any questions? Or anyhow?
Okay.
So if you have an opportunity to do that, we would truly appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
We wanted you to be aware that this was happening before something really, We wanted you to be aware of this before something really bad happened, and we had to really let you know that something terrible was going to occur to our library, which we all know, love and need, and the kids need the reading material. And
I understand. Do you have a letter or a draft or something that you might be able to provide the city clerk?
We have, yes, and we have a post. We're doing a postcard campaign that we're going to take and present to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. Do you want to maybe give them the one that says supervisor?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can leave it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
How many people do you estimate come through the library every year?
Oh, it's in there.
And of course it's increased when you close other libraries, and we increase our usage here, but it's a big impact. It's a big part of our community, and the way I look at it is it's the really county service that I use. You know, I know the sheriff is there, and I know the police and the fire and everybody is there. Hopefully I don't need them. But I always use the library. And I think that in this day and age, you know, you hear people say, oh, we don't need the printed book anymore. But the library for the internet and Wi-Fi access is equally important to books now for the community. You'll see cars parked in front of the library when the library's closed to use that internet. So it's really important that we have the library services.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
I have that statistic. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, well, that's okay. I do know a lot of people go through there. Okay.
We'll get it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else? If it could come forward and again state your name, and you don't have to give an address, but city.
So my name is Justin LeBlanc. I live here in Rockland, just a couple blocks down, actually, and wanted to follow up on the comment made about the libraries. I can say, even being a high-tech worker, that I have had need of use of internet access to the library at times, being between jobs sometimes in this economy that has a lot of turnover. And so even it's not just the people who are at the lower end of the economic rung that find use of these services. And now being a tech worker, I can say that there are lots of alternatives to brick and mortar these days. And so maybe it's worthy considering a community Wi-Fi program to allow people access to the internet. Doesn't necessarily have to be at a library facility, and possibly some sort of archive for physical printed materials for doing those sorts of research. But in any case, having some sort of library and archive type services, I think, would be a valuable portion of our community. I can speak to that personally.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello. Good evening. My name is Jose Alvarez. I'm a manager over at Sunworks Solar. We're off of Blue Oaks and Lone Tree. And one question that I did have is, in general, over the last, I want to say, year or two, we've noticed a great influx in PACE funding requests outside of Empower for the services that we offer. So we just wanted to know, in general, there's one that's more apt with better rates and things of that nature called HERO. So I wanted to find out why that is or what we can say to that right now. Maybe that might open up in the future and things of that nature.
I'm looking at you, Mark. Is that something you could maybe address?
I should have been looking away. just kidding. So PACE, that program touches a couple different departments. I know Kim has some thoughts about it. My understanding, rudimentary understanding, is that that is a service that is available to homeowners, business owners predominantly, and it's provided by the county, and it allows them to finance their energy-related improvements vis-a-vis their tax bill. There are, I believe, other jurisdictions where it's a little bit more of a free market, perhaps, where other providers participate in that environment. I know at one point in time, I believe staff did look at that possibility, but there are some challenges to that, I believe, and I suppose, perhaps if council would like, staff could go back and address this with the city manager. I know Kim might have some thoughts about that.
I was just going to say, approximately about a year and a half ago, the county, Janine Windishouse and the county treasurer came here and spoke to council concerning the county's Empower program, which the county had decided to use as a sole source was the Empower program. And at that time, there was a matrix that she looked at, and I think HERO was one of them, but there were some other ones that were there. And at that point, council was satisfied with just using the Empower program. But if council's, you know, wants us to look at that, we can look at that again. Or have Janine come and give us an update.
Does it fall under the county because it's tied to property taxes? Is it pretty much a county program that has to be administered and the city can't get involved? Or
no, the city, no. Okay. The county would have the levy on their taxes, but it's up to the city to say whether you want to, like Mark said, have a free market and have a whole bunch of – I think at that point there was four firms that Janine said was in this particular market, and I remember the name HERO was one of them.
Yes, there is typically four. That's usually the main ones. I think HERO would be at probably the top of the list, and then California First, Renew Financial, and things of that nature, White Green and all of that. So HERO's out of San Diego, and we have, you know, got a lot of requests from customers as to why that is. So that's why I wanted to ask. But thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think it might be worthy of just bringing back to council just because my memory's a little bit sketchy, too. It's been a while since we discussed that. Is that council's pleasure? Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Now we will go into item 16. Item 16, and I will open a public hearing. Item 16 is Community Facilities District Number 1, 52nd Annexation, and the Placer Creek Corporate Center. And just for the record, I believe we have these resolutions flipped. We need to take item B first. And then item A, second. We'll have a report from Mary. Esther?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council Members. Mary Reister, Administrative Services. At the February 28, 2017 Council meeting, Council approved Resolution 2017-28, a resolution of intent to annex territory to Rockland Community Facilities District Number 1, the 52nd Annexation, to authorize the levy of special taxes therein for territory commonly known as Placer Creek Corporate Center, which is located between Highway 65 and University Avenue. On the agenda tonight is the necessary public hearing and resolutions to complete the annexation. There are two resolutions submitted for approval. The first resolution will authorize the levy of a special tax and submitting the levy of tax to qualified elector. Staff recommends approval of this resolution. In anticipation, approval of the annexation and that the election has occurred, the second resolution approves declaring the results of the special annexation election, determining the validity of the prior proceedings, and directs the recording of the amended notice of the special tax lien. After the close of the public hearing and hearing the results of the election, if no majority protest is found, staff recommends that the City Council approve this second resolution. And this completes my presentation.
Okay. All right, thank you. Let's see, Barbara, do we?
So we need to take a vote on item B, on and B, then I can read the
And then you can read the results, yeah. Okay, sorry. You get one thing out of whack, and I'm a mess here, so we'll get that. Okay.
Public input prior to that.
All right. Any questions from council?
Yeah, you said you're going to read the results after we vote on B?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yes. It's procedural. Ken, did you come? All right. And I entertain any public input? Okay. Do I need to close it to take a vote? Yeah, okay. I'll close the public hearing to take item 16B.
Mr. Mayor, first. Move to approve item 16B.
I have a motion.
A second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second for item 16B. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, passes unanimously. Barbara?
So 93 qualified landowner votes, 93 votes cast, 93 yes votes, and 0 no votes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we have to open up public hearing again for item now 16A. And do we have any, about to receive a motion? Or I would entertain a motion.
public comment?
Any public comment for item A? All right, hearing none.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland declaring results of the special annexation election, determining validity of prior proceedings, and directing recording of amended notice of special tax lien pertaining to Community Facilities District Number 1, 52nd Annexation, Placer Creek Corporate Center.
I'll second.
Okay, moved and seconded for item 16A. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. All right, and now I will, I guess I failed to close public session, but I will reopen public session for item 17, and I'm instructed to provide a comment. There we go. I'm instructed to provide this information. These are public hearings in the Council's proceedings for annexation of territory as a future annexation area of the City's Community Facility District Number 5. The hearings are to inquire into the annexation of territory in the annexation area for the purpose of financing additional municipal services. Does anyone wish to file a written protest? If so, we would file that with our city clerk, and I don't see any for the record. Okay. So then the hearings are now officially opened, and we will first have a presentation by staff about the proposed annexation. After that, we will receive comments and questions and any oral protest from any interested persons. When all the comments have been received, the hearing will be closed. So we will have staff and consultants make a presentation. Mary Reister again.
Mayor and council members, at the February 28, 2017 council meeting, council approved resolution 2017-29, a resolution of intention to establish territory as a future annexation area of a community facilities district, City of Rockland Community Facilities District Number 5. The area proposed to be established as a future annexation area are 92 acres known as the Placer Creek Corporate Center Project, located between Highway 65 and University Avenue. Once the future annexation area of Community Facilities District Number 5 has been established, each undeveloped parcel within the future annexation area would be required to annex into Community Facilities District Number 5 as a condition of development. Annexation would occur after a unanimous approval form for the annexation has been signed by current owner or owners of the parcel. Staff recommends approval of this resolution. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Council, is there any questions?
No.
Any comments from the public? Okay. Then I will close the public hearing. I'll bring it back to City Council. City Council may then ask questions and discuss any proposed annexation that's on this list, but I think that is our opportunity to do that now. Council, any?
None.
Have any? Okay. Then we will now consider and adopt the following resolution, which will annex a territory in question as a future annexation area of the CFD.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 17, resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland providing for the establishment of territory as a future annexation area of a community facilities district, City of Rockland Community Facilities District Number 5.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Barbara, for helping me through that. Thank you, Tim. Okay. Item number 18, this is the draft 2017 Federal Housing and Urban Development Department one-year action plan. And we will have Laura Webster give us a report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. This is the first of two required public hearings in the preparation of the city's 2017 HUD one-year action plan. To be eligible to receive community development block grant funds on an annual basis, the City of Rockland must complete a consolidated plan every 5 years and an action plan on an annual basis. It is estimated that the city will receive approximately $254,000 for the 2017 program year. This is based on what we received last year. The action plan will also reallocate approximately $10,000 in prior year funds that were not used to the public facilities component. A notice of funding availability and solicitation for proposals from service providers was published in the Placer Herald and on the city's website on February 2, 2017. Proposals were received from Seniors First, the Gathering Inn, and the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Copies of their full submittals were included as attachments to the staff report, as well as the draft annual action plan document. Staff reviewed the proposals compared to the eligible activities as well as the objectives identified in the consolidated plan. No more than 15% of the current year award, or $38,000 approximately, can be expended on the public services component during the plan year. The recommended allocations and a comparison to what was done in 2016 are provided on the screen for you tonight, hopefully legible. The only real change is that there is a proposed $3,000 allocation to the St. Vincent de Paul Society in order to specifically address the youth component identified in the consolidated plan. They were not an applicant or a recipient last year. The proposed allocation to the Gathering Inn was also reduced by that amount compared to what they received last year. On March 24th, the draft annual action plan was made available for a 30-day public review of the document. Copies were posted on the city website, at the Rockland Library, and at City Hall. Notification was published in the Placer Herald, on the city website, and to stakeholders via dissemination by the Placer Collaborative Network and Placer Consortium on Homelessness, otherwise known as PCN and PCOH. No comments have been received as of tonight. The review period will close on April 25th. Staff has scheduled the council consideration and action on the final action plan for May 9th. The final action plan is due for submittal to HUD on May 15th. Rob Srantz, the city's CDBG consultant, is here with me tonight and has been helping and may assist in responding if there's any questions. It's also my understanding that representatives from Seniors First, the Gathering Inn, and St. Vincent de Paul Society are with us tonight, and they may want to address the council as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Council, questions? Councilmember Patterson?
Yes. we had a remaining amount from current budget year, correct?
Yes.
And we're anticipating spending all of it next budget year, correct?
Yes. The remaining amount was from prior programs that didn't fully utilize the funds that they had. I believe a little bit of it was remaining from the facade program, and Rob may know of the other item that's not coming to my mind.
There are some bits and pieces that we swept up that weren't used over a several year period.
So we're kind of trying to clean up and consolidate. We've spoken to Public Works, who is the proposed recipient of those rollover funds, since that isn't a regulated capped amount in the program, and so they believe that they can utilize those funds within the new program year.
So the cut to the reduction to Gathering Inn to go to St. Vincent de Paul, because of the splits, there had to be a reduction there, or is that just because the money is running out, or it's all expended for?
We can only allocate 15% of what we anticipate receiving to those types of service programs. So what we've presented to you is a recommendation on how to include St. Vincent de Paul and minimize impacts elsewhere. It's not carved in stone. The council could certainly direct staff to reallocate within that program section.
May I add something to that? I know last year I know we City Council approved some funding through the general plan in addition to that for the Gathering Inn.
Correct. There was a $20,000 expenditure approved by council additional funds to them.
I think some of the numbers you were referring to included this plus what might have been allocated out of the general fund, and there would certainly be an opportunity for council to consider that. And now would be the time as we move into the budget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess, my only thought on that was, obviously, there's so many moving pieces in these sorts of things, so many requirements, obviously, on how we could fund. And so, obviously, I think we've talked about the homeless issue, recently. And, I know comments are supposed to come later, but obviously, a reduction to that gathering in, you know, was that's an important program, obviously, so that I think we all acknowledge.
Yeah,
so,
but I think it actually is not a reduction from the HUD money. Is that correct? I can't remember.
It is from what they received last year. Last year we only had two applicants, Seniors First and the Gathering Inn, and so they received $18,124 last year. Certainly, again, it's council's prerogative. The other programs could be balanced out differently if you feel that homelessness is the priority.
Okay.
That's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Vice Mayor.
Laura, in relationship to the public facilities, so you spoke about those additional funds moving towards the public facilities. So the usage of that, the ADA compliance on the corners, of mm-hmm. course. Other areas, how is that money being utilized? Can you give me a sense?
Actually, they look at path of travel. There could be sidewalk improvements. There could be the ADA ramps. Justin is in the audience tonight. He's the one actually spending the money, so he might have more specifics for you. But it's my understanding that anything related to path of travel to bus stops and those sorts of things, especially that disabled may be using and maybe advantages to lower-income folks using the bus and those sorts of things would be the priority.
Just anything on top of that, or does that pretty well cover it?
It pretty much covers it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, and for the record, I think Justin said it pretty much covers it. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, anyone else have any questions? Okay. Any comments, input from the public and certainly our gathering in representative?
Mr. Mayor, Council, Keith Dietrich from the Gathering Inn. We are very supportive of St. Vincent de Paul. They do great work in the community, so I would be supportive of that transfer of funding to them. We have a joint medical program with them on site where we serve the homeless. So if you're looking to the Gathering Inn, if the Gathering Inn is in any way opposed to that transfer, we would not be. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Okay.
Okay. I got it. Mayor, City Council members, I am Dave Gonzalez, a member of the Board of Directors of St. Vincent de Paul. And I just like to speak briefly to our mission as it fits with Gathering Inn, and I appreciate their vote of support. We have worked together very well for many years and will continue to do so. St. Vincent de Paul's primary mission is to prevent homelessness. Now, the money that is recommended here is for services to youth in Rockland. But I just want you to know that, generally speaking, all our services work hand in hand with those who are serving the homeless so that we can help reduce the load on the city and those other services that are overstretched as it is. And so I think that we are the only agency that has made a request for youth. And it will be extremely low-income youth whose families are on the verge of becoming homeless. We're trying to support these youth in school and in their general well-being by giving them warm coats in the winter and school supplies to start the school year so they can be successful.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any questions, Mr. Gonzalez? Anyone? Okay. Thank you for all the hard work you do.
Hello, Honorable Mayor and City Council. I'm Jamie Horning. I'm the Executive Director of Seniors First. And I want to say thank you for the funding that we've received. in the past, and we're excited to continue to provide this program in the future. With the funding that we got last year, we were able to provide over 4,000 meals to seniors in need in the city of Rockland, and then also home modification, over 60 repairs to low-income seniors that need these repairs to be able to stay in their homes. So I just want to express my thanks and for your support of the programs. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? I think I saw a hand up.
Good evening, Council. Justin LeBlanc from Rockland. I guess, a point of information question. These funds that are being addressed tonight, do those involve things of affordable housing or rent assistance or any of those sorts of natures, or is this mostly just community services?
Could we have maybe staff answer that a little more directly?
I'll start, and Rob can enhance if necessary. There is a housing component in the sense of the handyman program that we're recommending for the seniors. I believe the funds could be used toward housing programs that would provide down payment assistance type funds and other improvements.
Yeah, correct. So community development block grants have a really number of different things by their nature being a block grant that they can be used for. The two restrictions are the 20% limit on planning administration and the 15% limit on public services, but the other are able to be used for a number of different purposes in the community, including improvements to housing such as the handyman program or other improvements to infrastructure to support housing. The one prohibition is that CDBG cannot be used to create new housing. It has to improve existing housing or provide infrastructure to support new housing. So, yes, it can. But there's a number of different things that can be done with CDBG. However, considering the amount that Rockland receives every year, we have to look at what's the most efficient use of the relatively small amount compared to the cost of providing affordable housing.
Gotcha. And so the reason for raising that question is more along the lines of thinking of a general policy of the development of the community over future planning in years. I know I spent time at the Roseville City Council, and I know for their affordable housing, they have a certain number of units set aside for affordable housing and things such as this that may not involve community development block grants, but more working with developers. And the information I wanted to raise here was in observing demographic changes, finding that many people are moving out of the Bay Area to the foothills, and as a result, housing prices are going up. So people in local communities, unless there's industry to support the increase in their wages, are often being priced out of housing markets. And so I don't necessarily have solutions to those kinds of problems, but I thought it was something worth addressing.
Thank you. And there are no solutions, good solutions. They're just, incremental increases. And we have actually, in the last couple council meetings, have approved some potential projects in that category. So
wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any takers? Okay. Thank you. I had a question. There was a reference in the report about the Trump administration, as it stated, that this is not affected by the proposed budget change. There is some confusion out there, I think, as to what might be, and this is not affected by anything that the administration is proposing, any budget cuts. Is that what I'm reading correctly?
Correct. We're allocating the funds that will soon, we hope, be appropriated, which is right now the federal government's on a continuing resolution that ends on April 28th. And so the funds that we appropriate for the 17-18 plan year are the ones that are appropriated in the federal fiscal year that began in October. And I can't tell you why exactly the federal government can keep on running and they still are not allowed to do these particular appropriations. I'm not that versed in the arcana of federal budgeting, but they cannot, HUD cannot release their formula allocations, which tell us how much money we have to allocate locally until there's an actual adopted signed budget. So right now, under a continuing resolution, HUD's just waiting for that, and so we're all waiting. And HUD's actually issued guidance saying, please do not – actually, they're saying they will not accept an estimate. In prior years, they accepted an estimate. This year, they say we have to wait until those numbers come down. They have 60 days from the date that a budget is signed to generate that the allocation. So it may be a little bit late, but as soon as they release those numbers and we get the plan in, HUD has 45 days from the date that they accept the plan to either accept or reject it.
Okay. Thank you for elaborating on that. Yep. And any other questions? Council, any comments?
Okay. Oh, comment. I just wanted to I'm looking forward to learning more about all three of these programs, but I was very glad to hear the partnership with Gathering Inn and St. Vincent de Paul. So thank you for everything all three organizations do in our community.
Okay. Thank you. And there, we're not taking any action, or do we need it?
Just this one here, Mr. Mayor. Direct staff to prepare the file.
Yeah, we're not taking any action, vote other than to just direct staff to move
forward. You solicited comments. If you had direction on changes to the allocations, we would want to hear that now.
Yeah, I think you've heard the direction, unless there's anything I missed from council, but okay.
Nope.
All right, good. Thank you. Thank you for the report. All right, next item is reports from the city officials and potential action items. 19, consideration of the meeting May 9th, 2017.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. This is kind of a abstract item, but what it relates to is a public discussion of a potential development of a portion of the golf course property and the acquisition of the balance of the property as open space. And when this item was first placed on the agenda, there was the date was in flux, and so the discussion item was whether or not the council desired to hold a special meeting for that public discussion. But as we've evolved, the date of May 9th is a regular city council meeting. So the contemplation currently is that at that meeting on May 9th, the city will first conduct its regular business, I believe from about 5:30 to roughly 6:30, and then the balance of the time that evening will be available for the public discussion on the project. And I know as we get closer to that date, the city manager will have further information on the structure of that particular meeting.
Yeah, I'd asked Steve to provide a little bit of insight into that. I think as we get closer, as you said, I mean, the whole idea was, I think, to have kind of more of a workshop environment, maybe not as structured. And so I expect Rick will provide us maybe some information here. Maybe at the next council meeting?
I can certainly relay that to him. I know that he is already giving some thought to the structure and the objectives for that meeting.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good. All right, thank you. Joe? Yeah.
Has a determination been made on whether it's going to be I know that we have a city council meeting, but is the remainder portion going to be a official city council workshop, you know, publicly notice where we can all be there and things like that? Has a determination been made on that?
So this will be part of the regular city council meeting on the 9th. So the council will be in session, assuming we have a quorum, and that will give the council an opportunity to participate in the discussion, provide comments if you wish, but obviously under no obligation to do so.
Yeah, that's the point is that it is noticed. It is a public meeting. We've had work. You know, we have our strategic workshops and things. It's probably a fairly good format. Might be able to follow, but we'll have to kind of come up with a. I'd like to keep it as loose as possible. That you know, it can be open and fluid, but it has to have some structure to it as well. So okay, good. Thank you for that. Item 20. Any announcements? Or actually, on item 19 from the public. Any comments regarding the meeting? Entertain any input? Okay, hearing none. Item number 20, announcements, brief reports.
I just had two items I wanted to mention. Number one, on April 4th, I had the opportunity both I was honored and somewhat humbled to be in attendance at the Rockland PD Honors and Awards Ceremony, which was held at the Event Center. It's always nice to be surrounded by a bunch of people when something is happening and most people are running the other direction. They're the individuals running towards it. And I was just honored to be there to recognize individuals, our new employees, but also those who had retired, as well as those who had been promoted and those who had achieved certain levels of other recognition. So it was a great event, and I thank you and all the members of the team for all you do. So thank you. And then on April 8th, I had an opportunity to attend the OPST Award Ceremony, which is a award ceremony here in Sacramento for our public safety personnel who work in dispatch. And we actually were there to recognize Ashley Burgers, who is a member of our team and was recognized as the 2016 Dispatcher of the Year. And an incredible, incredible lady, an incredible story. And if you ever, if you have an opportunity, I would strongly encourage you to go over to a dispatch and meet Ashley. She is an amazing, amazing woman, and we're lucky to have her as a member of our team.
Thank you for attending those, Ken. And I don't think I've missed those in the past ever, but I had an opportunity to take my dad to the Masters, so we did that. And then I got stuck in Atlantic with flight cancellations and missed the Saturday night the dispatcher's thing, so I apologize, but glad to hear we were represented.
Mr. Mayor, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Peter Tatishi of Sac Metro Chamber, and he's CEO, and we talked about various things, one of the topics being they have small business development hubs right here in Rockland, one at William Jessup and one through Sierra College that I think is a great service for our community. Basically, for people who don't know, they will help anybody open a business here in town. And it's a pretty neat program, but I would like, when the time's right, and I'll talk with Rick about this when he's back, for him to come in and talk about to all of us, so we become more aware for those of us who aren't, but also talk about the cap to cap, recap of the cap to cap. So, anyways, I thought that was an interesting service. So, if anybody ever has questions about that or anything like that, I'll put you in touch.
Thank you. Greg, anything?
Nothing.
Okay. Nope. Then, item 21. I'm going to expect a very thorough report from our acting city
manager.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Item 22. Any communications from their city attorney? All right. Thank you. Future agenda items. Anyone?
You know, I would like to ask, given the discussion we had during public comment from the representatives of our library, I would like to ask that we include in a future agenda a presentation from the library to educate us on the different services that they provide, the level of individuals who are receiving those services, and other information that they feel would be beneficial to the council in us understanding and, of course, encouraging the availability of our library services here in Rockland.
I don't think you'd have any argument from council up here, and we have our library representatives here, too. Is that something we can do? Okay. All right. I can work with the city clerk, and I think we can get something coordinated. Just not on May 9th. That's a good suggestion, council member. Okay. Public financing authority, no actions required. City council acting as successor agency, no action required. And now everyone's favorite part, the adjournment. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.